Tonight we're going back into 1 Peter. We're in chapter 1 and we left off in verse 3. You can say we didn't get too far, but I thought we got a long way. How's that? You thought, oh, we got a little book here and we're going to move right along. Never know. But we left off in verse 3 here. And as we pick this up, I do encourage you to keep your finger in Ephesians. And more specifically, let's keep our finger in Ephesians chapter 2 this evening. And God, I'm sure, will be bringing us back and forth among these two wonderful letters. But let's begin reading here with verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, I'll tell you, as it says, blessed be. Now, this is a praise, brothers and sisters, that could only go up to God. And again, what a God we have. What a God of all comfort. What a God of mercy. What a God of love. And here we see and we're reading the exceeding riches of His grace and mercy toward us. When we should have been left dead in our trespasses and sin, and we know that in reading the Word of God, and yet this undeserved favor, this undeserved mercy, this undeserved love that was poured out and given freely to us, and that has given us a lively, notice, that means living. It's a living hope. That means that it's ongoing, it's right now, and again, it is all in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God, it is all in Him. And I believe that it is such a beginning here, as we will read, this is all in Christ. And it is not of our works, lest any man should boast. It is all in Him. And notice that we have here this hope. And this word hope, I want to make sure we understand, this is not a wishful thing, but rather this means an absolute confidence. This is something that we know. This is something that we can count on, we can bank on. We know it's been accomplished. We know further that it's a finished work, and it was finished upon that cross. It was finished in that death that again brought us life everlasting. And all because, as we read here, of this mercy and this grace, completely undeserved, completely undeserved. And again, I read this and I think, well, Lord, thank You that Your love for me is truly the only goodness that I have. And I thank You because it's the only goodness that I need. Isn't that wonderful? He's my goodness. I don't need to try to promote it, because that isn't going to get it anyways. It's just going to defeat the purpose. I think you heard me say not too long ago, it's kind of like cotton candy. I never liked that stuff. It gets in your hair. It's in your hands. It disappears so fast, I'm still hungry. Gave me that quick carbo rush, and now I got a headache. It really wasn't real. And that's what Your goodness is. Nothing. Nothing. And that's why I'm, again, relying on the wonderful goodness, the only goodness there is, and that's in Christ Jesus. Now, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's begin reading from verse 1. And we'll, I believe, be encouraged of a very similar way of putting all this. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's all of us, dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, every one of us, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. See, he loved us when we were dead in sin. He didn't love you because you became good and then he took affection upon you, because that never happened. He loved you, he loved me when you were dead in sin. And that's how every single one of us started. Dead in that sin. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God. Isn't that wonderful? See, there it is. Everything is in that but God. The God of love, as I read this, he butted in. He said, it's mine. Mine. Praise God. I think of Genesis 3:15, where he put Jesus Christ as my enmity with the devil. He put him there. It's not going to happen. I've got the fix. This is the plan before the foundation of the world. This is it. I've got it in my Son. And again, I praise him for that, this abundant mercy that brought me this wondrous life and this abundant life that I now live because of the death of his Son. And that is the power of this resurrection that we're reading here tonight, that has seated us together with Christ in the heavens. Now let's go back to 1 Peter and read verse 4. This is where he has seated us. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now you talk about an inheritance. Now I get magazines and I read articles, and if you go on the internet, all you get bombarded with all day long is wealth. Who has the most wealth? Who are the top 10 most wealthy? Who are the billionaires of now? And who are the heiresses and the heirs of all of this money? Well, let me tell you something. This inheritance is beyond anything that we could ever fathom. It's beyond any value that you could ever even comprehend. I appreciate when you talk about out of the mouth of babes. When my dad went to be with the Lord, and that was about almost 8 years back, and I was explaining that to my son, Evan, who was about almost 4 years old at that time. And he loved his grandpa, and he knew his grandpa. And the day before his grandpa went to be with the Lord, his grandpa was tired, and he was out there in the backyard throwing the little football with him back and forth because he loved those kids so much. But I was explaining it to him, and I said, how your papa, he's in a place, he's in heaven. It's so wonderful. It's beyond anything you could imagine. He's with Jesus. And he looked at me and he says, Papa's way. And I thought, that's it. Way beyond anything I could ever think of. Way beyond any imagination that could ever come into my mind or my heart. What God has prepared for them that love him. And that's where 1 Corinthians 2:9, so precious that eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered the hearts of men what God hath prepared for them that love him. And we know that. And then the second word, incorruptible. It's just what it says. I don't know why we as Christians often want to wrestle with that. If I told you it was incorruptible, and more importantly, if God told you that it's incorruptible, to me that means very clearly it cannot be corrupted. It's preserved. It's guaranteed. We'll peek ahead a little bit. Go over to the 23rd verse of this first chapter of Peter and you'll read that. Being born again. And yes, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, No matter what the world has done with the phrase born again, they've trashed it and tried to just make it something like you're a nut. Well, then I'm a nut. But being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I've become part of that. That incorruptible seed has come into my life. I have His very own life. Praise God. And I'm kept by that very power, the power of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You talk about safe. Oh, hallelujah. The wonderful life and the forever life of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, it goes on to say, an inheritance, incorruptible, and now undefiled. Undefiled means blameless. Nothing to the charge of God's elect. We read that in Romans 8:33. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I remember when I was in junior high and I was acting up. And yes, I still can be a scamp and was quite a scamp back then. And I had a teacher and I knew he was a Christian. And I guess I was just kind of carrying on and saying about some things that were going to happen to me, just kind of joking around. Well, you know, with whether it was I'm going to fall and break my leg or fall off a cliff or something of that nature. And he came over to me and he was real serious. He said, "Don't say that. Look, don't you remember?" And he knew I was a Christian. He said, "Don't you remember what happened to Job?" And he said, "All those things that I fear, they came upon me." And I said, just immediately how the Lord jumped that out of these lips. Only God knows how it could have jumped out at that moment. Because other things were jumping out. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I knew even back then, eighth grade, I remember it very well, 13 years old, that you can't lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Can't. Know it. Don't let this superstitious old world, and that's just the enemy, try to put these things upon you. I had a dear grandma. For years and years, it was hard for her to come out of that superstitious way. She even had a book that would tell her about the different things that could happen to you if you walked underneath the ladder, or if the black cat came by, and all these different things. Oh no, you spilt the salt, you have to throw it over your... I know we laugh, but you know there's some things that are even more subtle. Yeah. Let's just trust God. All right. So, undefiled. Next, we see that it fadeth not away. John 3:16, I think, says it very well. Everlasting life. No ands, ifs, or buts. It's everlasting. Praise God. Reserved, we see next. And reserved not in just some temporary place. No, there's no purgatory. That was one of the things this man was asking me the other day. You cannot find that in the Word of God. It's not there. Something conveniently added for some purpose, the purpose to steer us away from the perfection that's in the Word of God. We're reserved in heaven. In heaven. When He told me, as we read here, in that verse 6, He's raised us up together and He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're there. In spirit, I understand that. You're seeing me here, but this body's just temporal. Praise God, I'm forever in heaven with Him. Say, well, then why are you here? Well, we read about the judgment seat of Christ. I'm just preparing for rewards. Praise God. How about you? Yeah. That's what He's given me here. And I'm talking about the reward to grow up. Not the reward for all of this inheritance and all this gain. That's wonderful. But Jesus, I got you coming. See? You're coming. You're the prize. I understand that. The Word of God tells me that. Jesus, you're the prize. So, I'm already seated there in spirit. And I have to smile sometimes. If I'm already seated there in spirit, why wouldn't I be there in presence the moment that I left this world? Why do I have to go somewhere else if I'm already there? To be absent from this body is to be where? Present with the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to see Him. Hallelujah. And when I see Him, I'm going to be like Him. Isn't that wonderful? And God knows what He's doing. But as we continue to read through this Ephesians, as with Paul, it's even a little bit more personal. Yes, I'll admit that. Peter's wonderful. I appreciate it. And so much truth in there. But yes, Ephesians is the high water mark. Ephesians means fully purposed. Yes. But God is bringing this through His Scriptures. And let's go ahead and read verse 7 of chapter 2 of Ephesians here. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. I love that. Toward us. I'm there. See, you're there. Toward us through Jesus Christ. It was precious that Peter says to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Paul makes it even more personal. The Holy Spirit does, as he says here, exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus, or through Christ Jesus. Isn't that such a precious thing? And, you know, as I was meditating upon this, I couldn't help but go back to our study in Corinthians there, where we had just left off not too long ago about how Paul was taken up in the third heaven. And I was thinking again how the Apostle John was taken up into heaven to write that wonderful book of Revelation. He was given that vision. But yet, as with Peter, Paul saw something different, obviously, than John did. And the greatest difference that Paul saw was Paul saw himself there. Isn't that wonderful? Paul gloried in the man that he saw because he saw the man that he could be. He saw the potential of the very mature Son of God. Whereas John wrote about it, and all he could do when he saw the mature Son of God was bow down. There's a difference. Do you see yourself there? Like Brother Paul? Are we just observing? Sitting on the premises or standing on the promises? Yeah. Are we praying or are we worshiping? Are we drawing nigh to kiss? Are we reading the Word of God? Are we being willing to suffer with Him that I may know Him? There's a difference. See, the great difference, a vast difference. Are we going to be a Martha that's going to be running around serving, observing things? Or are you going to be Mary sitting at His feet? She's chosen the better part. All over the Word of God. How many more? Endless. But I hope that touches your heart. All right. Verse 5, going back to 1 Peter. So, we have the inheritance. It fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Now, if you still don't believe all that, who are kept. Yes, I am kept. I used to tease people when they... I guess I shouldn't say this, but I will. They used to tease me a little bit about things that I have or different things in my life, whether it was my car, my clothes and all. And they'd kind of see me driving around. And I'd always used to say, well, yeah, I'm a kept man. And they thought I was kept by my wife. But I was always referring that I'm kept by God. I'm kept by the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? You can think all the things you want. I know who keeps me. You know who keeps you? You know who keeps you? So, oh, I got to keep myself in line. You don't keep yourself in line. You better fall in love with Jesus and understand it's just His love that keeps us in that wonderful way. Keeps us in. We're in those everlasting arms and we'll never part from that. But... who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So again, this is not of me. It's not of my goodness. I'm kept by Jesus. It's His work alone. It's His work on that cross. Praise God, it was nothing of me. Peter finally got this. Peter struggled with this as you read through the Gospels. He struggled with this. Until the Lord started bringing this out in this brother's life. until he yielded to listening to the Holy Spirit minister him the grace of God. The grace of God. Brother Peter got that. I believe Brother Paul was a great influence, we've read and understand in 2 Peter, the reference that Peter gives to Paul. But praise God that he got it. And praise God when we finally get it. And the reason we praise God is now finally we can grow. There's one way we grow. The Word of God tells us that very clearly. We grow in grace. You will grow only in grace. You can try, you can strive, you can work, you can think that you're holy. You just got to know Him, that it is His wondrous work. And you see, any time that we begin to want to receive, and really listen to this, because this is the Lord ministering to my life too, any time that we want to receive the glory and the praise and the recognition, you just stopped growing. You don't look for that. By the grace of God, I'll encourage you, get away from that. Avoid it at all cost. Lord, I want you to be magnified in you alone. I appreciated our pastor for many years. I know often it was uncomfortable for him when people would say kind things. It's wonderful to hear kind things, don't get me wrong. But we want the Lord to be magnified. It's the faithfulness of God in you. It's the faithfulness of God in me. And it's just a gift. It's just His wondrous grace that gets it done. All right. So, we understand that it's Him. We understand that the Word of God also tells us to beware of the concision. We read that in Philippians 3. That concision is that legality that can just sneak in. It's so subtle. It wants to rob us at every turn. But we need to know that we are kept by His power and His power alone. And we read that in Romans 13:1, that the only power is of God. And in 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says that Christ Jesus is the power of God. There's no other power. That's it. Just like there's no other faith. There's but one. But this world wants to get us to compromise. And I think of these reporters and how we're going through this election. And the different ones that are Christians. And especially that one man. I think his name is Huckabee or Huckleberry or Huckle something. He is their Huckleberry now, isn't he? That's right. But I'm sure he loves the Lord. I'm thankful. But they keep going to one point every time. Is it the only way? Is it the only way? He's finally started not answering them because he knows it causes division. Now when he's around his people, in a sense, is the people of his meeting or the people that he knows that know the Word of God. And I'm not judging it because I'm not going to cast my pearl among swine either. But ye must be born again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's it. Settles it. I appreciate my wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have studied and read quite a few different religions. I never have read really, or I can't really put my finger upon any one and any belief that came out and said it like that. Enlightenment? Oh yeah, there's a lot of that. Well, I'm a prophet and there's these different things. No, I am it. No other way but me. You see why I made him so mad? Well, he's saying he's God. Well, he is. Praise the Lord. I love my Lord. We have a fun time together. So, we understand it's by faith. And let's finish reading out this Ephesians chapter 2, let's just read verses 8 through 10, and then we'll stay back in Peter. So it goes on to say, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Just get over it. Just understand it's a gift. Praise the Lord. I was rejoicing as I look back at my dear sister. She was up here to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord filled her so sweetly. And I believe the sister just came to her. She said, you know, this Holy Spirit, it's just a free gift. Just a free gift. Just like when you got saved. It's the same thing. Bang. She was filled just like that. Speaking in tongues of men and angels. Praise God. Just going at it. It was that fast. Hallelujah. Just understand. Lord, give it to me. I was rejoicing with my wife. You know, the Word of God tells us to pray for the gifts. I am so thankful. I am trusting God that if there's a gift to be given at a certain time, He'll give it to me. He will, not because of anything. He's just sufficient. He meets the need. And I mean that. Whether it's a discernment, whether it's a healing. Oh, you have all that? Well, no, He does. He just gives it out. As He sees fit. Just be willing to receive it. Be willing. Praise God. And then I understand I don't have to get giddy about the gifts. I'm just in love with the giver. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's kind of stay with it here, Jess. We could get on a lot of different places. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How anybody thinks that they could merit salvation. And you could see why it is such a refuse and such a disgust to God. All right. So we see that. We believe that by His grace, that we are His workmanship, that it's His good works, that it's completely Him. Now let's go back to Peter. Now we'll start reading from the 6th verse of the 1st chapter. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, praise be to God. This is truly the joy that the Lord brings in sorrow. And only God could give this. And notice here, it's now. It's now. This is going on now. And notice that it's also saying that we're in it. You have no choice. You're just in it. It's now. It's for us. And we're in it. And again, may we rejoice. And may we rejoice not just in our standing in Christ Jesus, because that's what we've just went through. We've went through this standing. Our standing, praise God, it's taken care of. That's the easy one to rejoice in. Now, what this word is challenging here is, how about whatsoever state? Huh? Now, are we willing to rejoice there? That's the overcomer. Are we willing to rejoice not just in standing? Oh, thank God I'm a Christian. But wait a second here. Brother Peter's even getting it, like Brother Paul was mentioning back in Corinthians. Lord, this is more precious than gold that perish. That this might work in me to be found at your appearing to praise and honor. This is important stuff. Pay attention to this. This is the reason for these sufferings in our life. This is full overcomer time. It's inevitable, brothers and sisters, that we're going to have trials. We're going to have tests. We're going to have tribulation. It's going to come. And notice, and I'll say this, Brother Manny brings it. Brother Manny Fold. Yep. And what I mean by that is, it's always going to come in bunches. You're always going to be tried on every side. It's the manifold temptations. It's this manifold testing that comes at us. And this is the fathomless love of God to us. He's not mean spirit. He loves us. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Let's read about God's plan, what he's thinking of. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. That's your trials. Don't be moved by them. For yourselves know. This isn't something that we're wondering about, that's unknown. But you know that we are appointed thereunto. Well, my goodness. We have pre-scheduled appointments. Look, listen to what this is saying. We have pre-scheduled appointments with affliction. These are the before ordained good works that we should walk in them. They've been planned out. They're at appointed day, appointed time. God, that evil one that he had to have to use for that time, he got them there. And I know you're thinking, well, Lord, I either want to be late or not show up for that appointment. Come on. But what he's trying to tell us in the Word of God is, let us be willing to say, Lord, this is really what it's all about. This is about faith. This is about the overcoming faith. That, Lord, it's you and it is worth it all. And there's nothing more precious to you. Help me to get the vision of the heavenly. Help me to quit being, again, caught up into this world, thinking truly that this is a bad thing. The Lord said, hey, look, this isn't comfortable. These trials, these sorrows, these temptations, this trial that we have, it's not joyous for the moment. Uh-uh. But it's not worthy to be compared. It's not even worthy to be mentioned is really what it's going at. With the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's really his thoughts, aren't my thoughts on that one, huh? Yeah. Lord, I can praise you better if I have more money. I could really, really praise you if I didn't have these sore shoulders that I could lift up my hands. I could really run the race if I had good legs. Oh, let him be your strength. Yeah. This natural body is not going to get anywhere with God. I got to be inspired in spirit to go on with him. So, praise God for these most important appointments. These are appointments we want to be willing. Like Brother Paul said, to be willing. Lord, Brother Paul even prayed for more of these appointments, if you think about it. He looked forward to them. He said, because then the very power of Christ is resting upon my life. Yeah, remember he said that back there in Corinthians in the 9th chapter. Romans 8:18, we just quoted it. For I reckon that the sufferings, I thought about this. The Spirit has brought this to me, is what he's saying here. I reckon that these sufferings at this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So, it's precious that we have these trials, but in facing these trials in faith, it's got to be by faith, by faith, by faith. That's how the kingdoms were wrought. That's how the lions' mouths were kept shut. That's how the sea parted. Everything, anything that's of value is ever attained is by faith. Faith in him, faith in his love. And in that, we have reward. Praise, honor, and glory is verse 7 back here in Peter. It says, at his appearing. And you think about at his appearing. The Word of God says his reward is with him. Now is the time of the judgment seat of Christ. It's going on now. You're being judged now for your reward. And the question is, Are we gathering now the silver and the gold and the precious stone? Or are we about in this life right now building wood, hay, and stubble? And I always appreciate how that was brought out to me through the different preachings. It's wood, hay, and stubble can be giant. Man, you give me a lot of stubble, I can gather lots of that. Man, look at that mountain of stubble. My, oh my, you got a lot of hay. Oh, and that wood, look at that amazing thing. All over. But you bring the silver, the gold, and the precious stone, I'm telling you, there's not a whole lot of it. It's not. It's hard to find. Yeah. Praise God. But I know where it all is, and it's actually easy to find. It's all in Him. It's just in Him. See? And that's by, again, grace, what we're after here. In Him. See, trials come. But what this is saying, and it's inevitable, they're going to come. You can say, oh yeah, they're here. Well, they are. But see, when they're not met in faith, when trials are not met in faith, we get overrun by these trials. We become the carnage of these trials that come our way. And in that, there's not going to be a reward in it. Read what it says here. It says in verse 7, might be found. There's a question here. And the question is answered, the treasure is only found when we yield. Yielding is the choice. And yielding is trusting God. Yielding is looking at these trials, troubles, whatever you want to call them, the sufferings in my life. And I'm talking about God-willed. Not talking again about God's allowance to allow you to go rake through the kennels of hell itself if you want to this evening. But God-willed suffering. There's no greater gain. In faith, that's the praise and the glory at His appearing. Hallelujah. See, there's many lives, I am sad to say, that we see that are shipwrecks. And there's a common to every one of those shipwreck lives. And I'm talking of Christians. It's because they abandon faith. Quit living by faith. Oh, they may get by. Maybe in the eyes of the world, oh, I'm doing good. There'll come a time. He's the lover of your soul. God's not going to be mocked. He's going to keep coming at you. Praise God. You're His. You're not. You've got to realize you are His. All right, verse 8. Let's move along. Whom having not seen. Such a wonderful verse here. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though ye now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So this is just as Jesus was saying to Thomas here, blessed are they that have not seen and believe. But yet, again, herein is so much more, because both times as we read about having not seen, it's having not seen and love, and having not seen and believe. And these are two different things, loving and believing. They really are. They're two different things. Let's think about this. But they're both so vital. But and again, thinking it was so appropriate to Sunday's sermon, the true worshiper worships in spirit and in truth. And I believe you'll find, and as we look at this, and immediately as the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, brings this in, this spirit and in truth is the same thing as loving and believing. See, love speaks of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad, exceeding abundantly, is really what that meaning there, in my life, in my heart. Yes, Lord, I love you, but to become in love with you, I'm telling you, that's got to be the Holy Spirit that brings us into that. And that's that love that just comes in like a flood, praise God, and just continues to come in, flow out. And that, again, is the Holy Spirit. Now, many Christians love the Lord. Many Christians love the Lord. Thank God. And I think most Christians I've ever spoken to, do you love Jesus? Oh, yes, I love Jesus. Praise God. But yet there's many Christians that love the Lord that don't have any faith. It's true. Just don't really have any faith. And therefore, they stumble in believing. All right? So there we have the love without the faith. We stumble in the believing. But yet on the other hand, we have Christians that have great faith. But yet they really don't exude or display any love. Have you met those? I have. And the Word of God says I could have the faith to move mountains. But if I have not love, it's profitless. I don't have anything. All right? So, how precious it is to have both. And when you have both, you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You have it all. You have it all. I rejoice. This is the faith and love. This is Ephesians 3:20, where Paul says, it's exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Brother Hill said it another way too. You got to taste the peach. Yeah. Praise God. I really do believe that. You have to taste it for yourself. What does it taste like? I couldn't tell you. It's so exceeding. You've got to taste it for yourself. Then you'll know. Then you'll know what this is. You'll know what we've been talking about here. Because in both truth and love, the Word of God says that we grow up into Him in all things. It says into His very image from glory to glory. In the Word and His grace, which is love, we receive the inheritance. Yes, the inheritance among all them also that are sanctified. It's faith and love, brothers and sisters. One without the other, and you'll be unstable. One without the other, you will not be symmetrical. One without the other, we miss the perfection that's found only in the bride. And finally, we come to verse 9, and this is why it's so important. Because someday, it's inevitable, you're going to receive the end of your faith. At the end of the road, God, at the end of the road, you will receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What an exciting time. What a moment. Receiving the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. I'd like to just jump ahead a little bit in verse 13. It says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope to the end. The grace that is coming when we meet Jesus. Our faith someday will be made whole. Yes, it's inevitable. It's coming. It's not something, in a sense, I'm wishing for in that hope. It's absolutely certain. This hope was completely finished upon that cross. It's coming. And in that, I'm thankful. And in that, my faith being made whole, I think of this. Someday there'll be no more praying. There'll be no more praying. It's just worship. I'm just going to worship. And a lot of people say, what do you mean you're not going to pray anymore? There's not going to be any need for faith. I'm with Jesus. I'm with Him. The worship will never end. So precious to think of those four living ones. Every time you read about them. Worshiping, worshiping. Oh God, what you bring us to. Present with Jesus Christ. So receiving the end of your faith, it's reward time. How many I know that are really apprehensive or afraid, in a sense, to die? I even know some people that are afraid for the Lord to come, that are even Christians. Well, I don't really know if I'm ready to meet Him. I can tell you, you're really not ready to marry Him. Because you're certain, I would hope you're certain when you get married. You best be. Well, you will be if you're going to marry Jesus. You're going to be really certain. I want Him. And more importantly, He wants me. I know it. I'm listening to Him. His desire is toward me. I believe Him. He sings these songs to me. Not just words of what people say. He's singing it to me. And you'll know it then. You will. The words don't become just words anymore. It's a living. It's alive. This living hope. Praise God. But this is the reward that, praise God, I hope we're waiting for. Not that we've apprehended, but we hope to. Praise God. And I'm trusting Him by faith that He's going to get it done. But it's the reward is all in the amount of faith and believing and in the love that we have allowed Him to grow up in us. And it's all by grace. All by grace. All by grace. Do we get it? Are we His workmanship? Even if you don't, it's His workmanship. If you'll know it and enter into it, you'll grow up. You believe Him, you'll grow up. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You again for this time. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, continue to just allow that fervent fire to burn. Don't let us grow weary. Lord, if there's a dry season in lives here at this time, Lord, let them know that You're the oasis that's there. God, how would we ever appreciate, truly appreciate that wonderful water and, praise God, the bread of life if we weren't really thirsting and hungering for it? God, let us know that You've got a plan. It's a perfect plan, but we are going to be tested in it because the trying of that faith is truly what is going to prove to be the wonderful ones that will win You. Thank You again, God, for it. And we thank You in the wondrous name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.